on, you ought to lift your hands and your heart to the Lord right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. One more time, would you just shout unto God with a voice of triumph and with a voice of praise? Woo! Come on, he's good, he's good, he's a good God. Glad to know we're serving a great God that's worthy of a great praise. There's nothing that our God cannot do. Anybody believe that tonight? I said there's nothing our God cannot do. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing's too hard for our God. Amen, 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 amen. Man, isn't it so wonderful to be in God's house on a Wednesday night? You've been at work. Devil's trying to beat you up all day, but you made it. Woo! You made it. You ought to just tell the devil tonight, I made it. Everything you tried to do to stop me, I made it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Ezra chapter 3, Ezra chapter 3, and we will begin reading in verse 10. While you're turning there, let me again say, what an honor and a privilege it is to be here tonight. I'm going to move this because I guarantee you I'd break it by the end of the service if I don't. But I'm so honored to be here tonight. I love this dear church, this pastor, bishop. Amen. They are some of my favorite. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in the near future, what God's going to do tonight. And this thing, me and Bishop have kind of used the term loosely over the last couple weeks. I think he's used it in kind of two different terms. He said it feels like it's avalanching, it feels like it's snowballing, just spiritually something happening that's under the surface. You can't see it. That's the powerful thing about God. Sometimes you don't even see him moving, and then he just shows up, and when he did, you're like, where'd all this come from? And it's been happening all along just under the surface. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. When he shows up, he does things right. Woo, hallelujah. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief fathers were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout. And then the Bible says, and the noise was heard afar off. The noise was heard afar off. Amen. If there is a common term in our English language we use a lot of times, and it is so close, but yet so far away. Anybody ever heard that before? I'm going to flip that around tonight, and I'm going to preach it from a kingdom aspect. So far, but yet so close. So far, but yet so close. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands to the Lord and asking him to help us? Jesus, we love you. Oh, come on. He's a great God. Would you lift your voice in prayer? God, would you anoint my lips of clay? Would you anoint this congregation? God, would you anoint this church building, anoint this city? Let the anointing that destroys every yoke flow out of this house. Let it run down Roebuck Drive. Everybody that's driving by, let them feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm asking you right now, the folks that are driving down the road on the interstate, let them feel conviction. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be poured out. so that they have to say, I've got to go there. I've got to see what's happening at that church. Jesus, we ask it in your name. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands unto the Lord one more time and give God us one more shout of praise. Come on, magnify him. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, I think we can do a little bit better than that. I know it's Wednesday night, but you ought to lift your hands and worship. Lift your voice with a shout. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. As long as you promise to help me preach. If you're not going to help me preach, you just come up here and stand in the front where everybody knows who you are. Amen. The preset of our story begins as Zerubbabel and Joshua, under the unction of God, took upon themselves to rebuild the temple. Now, in order to understand why they are rebuilding it, we have to understand why it has been torn down in the first place. The short story is simply that sin and rebellion, false gods, and the prophets of those false gods were the cause of the crumbling of this great building and sanctuary of God. Did not happen all at once, but piece by piece, king by king, sin by sin begins to pile up, and man continues to try to build their own dynasty rather than building the kingdom of God. Can I just unpack this right here, that it is a sure truth that you can be a part of the church and not be a part of the kingdom? That's why this church building that we're reading about here tonight failed in the first place. And it was because people were more worried about their church than God's kingdom. And so as we move on through that, I want to encourage you tonight and tell you, you don't need to be like those foolish kings that caused this to happen. But while you're building your church, make sure that you're building the kingdom. Be the Zerubbabel and Joshua of your generation that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This isn't my church, this is your kingdom. And so after 70 years, somebody finally got their head back on straight. Some 70 years and people have finally got out of their own ruts and out of their own mindsets, and they have become kingdom minded, and they began to work on the house of God again. The Bible tells us that the people began to give freely, and they, in my own terms, began to set the forms and back up concrete trucks and build the foundation of the house of the Lord again. And the people began to realize that something very powerful and amazing is happening. The thing that sin and rebellion, false prophets, had somehow managed to tear down, God was rebuilding. I said all of that to state the fact that you may somehow tear down an apostolic church. You may somehow tear down an apostolic man of God, an apostolic woman. But can I tell you, in the middle of that, God has a way of raising back up the things that have been torn down. God has a way of raising from the ashes what everybody considered as old fogey, and it ain't gonna work anymore. God's got a way of raising up what the devil had stomped out. I'm telling you tonight on a Wednesday night that God may not show up when you think he should, but just like he did here 70 years later, he showed up and he started working, and he... It may not come what you want him to, but let me just tell you about Jesus. He always shows up on time. It may not be in your time frame, but honey, you can rest assured, God's not going to let the devil outdo him. God's not going to let the devil come in and tear it down and not rebuttal. I'm preaching to somebody right now who feels as if you've been torn down. I'm here to tell you, you get ready for restoration. Because even
God, help me, Jesus. Even though you're down, you're not out. Because I feel the hand of God reaching to where you are and picking up and restoring and building again what has been torn down.
Hallelujah. There would be those that would say that apostolic revival is a thing of the past. And they might would even be a little bit incorrect, correct in surmising that the church has had over the past couple of years a couple bumps in the road. But can I tell you that the church as a whole, it's not going down. It's never going to go down. It's not going to be defeated. It's never going to be defeated. God's got a way of raising it up when man counted it out. This was the answer to a 70-year-old promise that God was going to build it back up again. And now they are beginning to see it with their own eyes. God is putting together the things that he said he would do. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. Well, I guess I can't really say that. I'm not a prophet. My dad's a prophet. But I will tell you this. I feel heavily in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if it's going to be in a continuation of services with Brother Phillips or not. But I believe what the man of God said when he said we were going to double in one revival. It's been a long time coming, Bishop. I don't know how long ago that was, but I'm going to tell you, your timing's not God's timing. And just because it hadn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You can rest assured, honey, God's doing big stuff in Birmingham. Hallelujah. And so as it is only natural to do, when they seen God begin to put the first play into action, there was one thing that they could not help but do. Somebody began to lift up their voice in praise. The Bible tells us that the priest had the trumpets and the sons of Asaph had the cymbals. And they came out and watched as the foundation began to be built. And the Bible tells us that they began to praise God so vibrantly and so loud that it was heard afar off. Bible does not say how far. The Bible just says afar. The Bible does not tell us how many decibels. It just says that it was loud and it was heard afar off. There was a high praise going on at the Israelite camp. Without a doubt, there were people that were down the road a few miles that started asking questions around town. Did you hear that noise coming from the Israelites? I don't know it, but maybe in my mind's eye, I see as they began to worship, somebody was in the temple of Baal giving a sacrifice, and they began to hear as the people of God began to praise, and they began to wonder, why would anyone worship a God like that? Those people have something that nobody else has got. They begin to hear the sound afar off. Understand tonight that this term afar off is not just a geographical location, but in Old Testament times, it was a term that was used to describe those that were not Jews. Hear me, preach, hear me, friends, as I'm going to preach with the unction of the Holy Ghost what I feel. And so let me put it into context for you. There was a sound being projected that those that were not Jews, that were not a part of the Old Testament body of Christ, began to hear the sound of praise coming forth from the foundation. The Bible tells us that those people heard the praise as well. And that's where we find Haggai, the prophet, shows up and builds a bridge to where this applies to you and to me. He said in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6, the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and dry land. And then he said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace. Understand, Haggai, the prophetic word is coming from Haggai here at the same place that Ezra is giving the account in Ezra chapter 3. I believe in myself, and as I can find in study, that Haggai began to prophesy without even the understanding of what he was saying. They have been taught for a very long time that they were the people of God. The Jews looked at everyone that was not Jewish as dogs. They looked at those that did not have that blood in their veins as someone that had no business in the kingdom of God. But now, because God's people begin to shout about the temple being rebuilt, Haggai shows up and God begins to speak. When he hears the shout and the people that are not Jews hear the shout, the Bible says that Haggai looks and with the word from God says, I will shake all nations. All nations. Now, if Haggai would have been a redneck, he'd have said, now what in the cornbread world does that mean? I thought we were the people of God. I thought we were the elite. And now you're telling me that you're bringing more in? Why would you shake all nations? Why would you fill this house with the glory from all nations? And you see, Jesus Christ, God, he was setting it all up. He was getting it ready for the New Testament. And we'll get there in a minute. But can I tell you, when you start learning how to worship God for what's going on at the house of God, it starts moving down your street and down your community and down your row and down and in your family. And God starts giving revival to people that you never thought could have revival. The Bible said all nations. Nobody thought that he was going to pour it out on all nations. But when Haggai showed up, it was as if God saying, I can do things that you can't even imagine that I can do. I can pour out my spirit in places that you don't even think I dwell. You might assume that I don't live there, but just watch me work there. You might assume that part of town can't have revival, but just watch me give revival on that side of town. They had boxed God into a mentality that says you can only do it here and you can only do it in this people. And God sent a prophet that said, I'll do it with whoever I want to do it with. I'll bring revival out of whoever I want to bring revival out of. I'll bring it from places that you thought couldn't even happen. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you something right now. If there's an area in this city that everybody's always said you can't have revival, you ought to get together and start outreaching that part of town, because God will bring revival from the places that everybody said it was impossible. I don't care how many Pentecostal churches have been here in Birmingham and said it's dried up. It's a burnover field. Honey, it's not a burnover field. It's revival ready. It's caught. It doesn't matter what man says. Let's figure out what God says. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, all of this, and I'll come back to this here in a little bit, but all of this happened because God's people began to praise him when they started seeing God work. Can I tell you again, I want to stress this really strongly tonight. Your praise will unlock doors to people that you thought even God himself could not save. I love it. I love it. I'm going to be honest. I love it. When I come to church and I see new people that have never been to an apostolic church sitting on the pew. And when we get to worshiping, especially, I love it when there's first service is Sunday night and people are running and turning front flips. Man, if I did that, y'all be scraping me off the floor. It'd have to be. If I do that, y'all know it's the Holy Ghost. I watched the other night as someone, I actually went to him. I said, have you ever been to an apostolic church before? They said, no, this is my first time. But I was standing over here watching as my dear brother did a front flip. I looked at them, and the look on their face, I was like, this is awesome.
And I went back there and I said, have you ever seen anything like this before? And the young man said, no. I said, do you like it? He said, yeah.
Don't tell me this world is happy with sit, kneel, stand, sit, kneel, stand. You're not going, you can't convince me this world is excited about going to a church where nothing happens and people sit around frozen. They want somewhere where they can feel and they can move and they can express. God forbid that the apostolic church ever ceases to be a worshiping church. That's what makes us. It's not just our looks. It's not just our doctrine. But when you have all of that together and you put it with worship, it's a dynamite ready to go off for somebody to be drawn to the house of God.
We find this prophetic word in its beginning in Mark chapter 5. You know the story of the demoniac in the place of Gadara. This place is, this land is inhabited by Gentiles. We know this because there's a bunch of reasons why we know this. Just trust me, we know this, and I don't want to get into all of that and get off tonight. But in Mark chapter 1, we see that Jesus heals a leper, that is a Jew, and he tells him, tell no man what I have done. In Mark chapter 5, Jairus' daughter is healed, and he's told, tell no man what has happened to you. But in Mark chapter 5, we see something very different. When Jesus heals this man that is possessed with demons, it says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 19, this man that most theologians would agree is not a Jew, but is a Gentile. The Bible says that Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. My question is simply this, why did he go around talking to all the Jews and tell them, don't say nothing. The people of God. But then he works a miracle for somebody that's not a Jew, and he says, you go home and you tell everybody. Because Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, and he was getting ready to put into action what happened in Haggai chapter. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And so when we pull all of that together, it's not very hard to see that Jesus, he lives his earthly ministry. He goes and he dies and he fought the battle. My God, that got me so excited and pumped up. I'd ready to cut a flip for real then. He dies. He raises himself from the dead. And then the Bible tells us that he tells his disciples to go to Jerusalem and stay there until they're endued with power from on high. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 9, it begins to list a bunch of people that were there. And understand that there were people within these tribes that were Jews, the Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia, and all that good stuff. And you get on down and you go to the strangers of Rome and all of that, and you see that there were some people that were there that were Jews that were hearing the wonderful works of God in their own language, but there were other people there that were not Jews that were hearing the wonderful works of God in their own language. And I don't have time for the whole spiel, but this is all a part of the prophetic word coming to pass. And then you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said one to another, they started talking to the disciples and said, what shall we do? And you know the story. Peter stands up. He starts preaching. You repent. You get baptized in Jesus' name. And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to those that are. I'm about to come apart at the seams right now in the Holy Ghost. They didn't even recognize what was happening. But when he was giving the prophet, and I understand, I'm not preaching that there was more than Jews that received the Holy Ghost there on that day. But I am telling you that everything happened all the way from Ezra chapter 3, all the way through Acts chapter 2, all the way in Acts chapter 10, was setting it up for the door to the Gentile dispensation to be opened and people to be drawn into the kingdom of God. Where did it start? It didn't start at Pentecost. It started started way back in Ezra chapter 3. And then Haggai shows up and gives a prophetic word. I heard the shout, but I wasn't the only one that heard the shout. There were people that didn't know God that heard the shout. And that was a, my God, help me, Jesus. That was a foretelling of what's going to happen. Peter, call not what I have called cleansed common or unclean. Peter, I want you to get the revelation that this has been in the works a long time. I didn't just start this, but I opened this door a long time ago. Every nation, every tongue, every creed, every color is going to be able to walk in. They were afar off, but they were made close. Can I just preach right now to somebody tonight that you've got family member that they look afar off? Can I tell you that they're a lot closer than you think? Because with God, he knows how to draw in what is far. He knows. I don't care if they're alcoholics. I don't care if they're drug addicts. I don't care if their family's messed up. I don't care what walk of life they're living. What is far can be made now. Very quickly, can I take you to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is a Gentile church. Ephesus is a church. I picture it somewhat like we got right here. Every nation, every ethnic group coming together and they're worshiping God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes were far off. Me, Jesus, but are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He goes on to say, because that wall, that middle partition is torn down. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And in order to understand what Paul is saying, I got to take you all the way back to Ezra chapter 3 when they started building it. We know how they built it. They built it with the inner court, the outer court, and the Holy of Holies. And when you got to the outer court, there was a sign up in every language that upon the pain of death shall anyone that's not a Jew not enter in. And so when you read Mark's account of the blood of Jesus being shed on Calvary, he says when he gave up the ghost that the veil was ripped in twain. And Mark shouts, and Mark has a good Holy Ghost time because Mark is a Jew, and the only thing keeping him out of the Holy Holies is the veil. But if you're not careful, you'll miss this. Mark doesn't understand the Gentile dispensation. And so he forgets all about the wall. You see, you're already a Jew. So you can already get into the inner court. You can already get into the place where the Gentiles can't come. And so the only thing keeping you from the presence of God, Brother Mark, is the veil that was rent in twain. But unto us that are Gentiles, we're still stuck outside because there's still a sign that says we can't go past this wall. But you know what Paul says? He says the same blood that tore down the veil, the same blood that gave the Jew access, the same blood that let Brother Mark walk on in to the Holy of Holies. That same blood is the blood that tore down the middle wall of partition. And those of us that were afar off, that were Jesus, that didn't deserve to be in the kingdom, that blood made us nigh. That blood drew us in. That blood purchased our salvation. And so I got to write just like the Jew to shout. And so can I tell you what I'm preaching here tonight is simply this. The things that were far were made nigh by the blood. Can I tell you that the same blood that purchased you is great enough? My God, help me, Jesus. It's great enough to save every drug dealer in Birmingham. It's great enough to save every lost child connected to this church. That same blood that purchased you tore down the wall of partition, and that blood can bring you in. That blood can draw you out. That
Ephesus, you were afar off, but I'm making you nigh. I'm drawing you in. I'm giving you power. I'm anointing you to do my work.
And it all, oh my God, help me, Jesus. And it all started with a shout. My Lord, it all started when people begin to recognize that God was doing something that they can't do on their own. It all happened when people begin to recognize that God's presence is in this house. And because God's presence is in this house, I'm going to shout about it. And their shout was heard afar off. It went into the, my Lord, it went into the bar rooms and poured out conviction. It went into the crack houses and poured out conviction. Their shout went. I don't know if you recognize what happens when you lift up your voice and shout, but saint of God, it's doing more than you can even imagine. It's not just what we do on Sunday night. We're not just shouting on Wednesday because we want to shout, but what we're doing is tearing down walls that have been built. What we're doing is ripping the veil in twain. What we're doing is making an accessibility for somebody to receive Jesus. I haven't found one problem yet that Holy Ghost Church can't fix. I haven't met one sinner that when they got involved in the Holy Ghost being poured out, that it didn't just shake their world. And I hadn't found one person that was so bound that the blood of Jesus couldn't bring them out. I haven't found one city that was so bad that apostolic revival couldn't be had there. I don't know. If you can find it, you must not be serving the same God I have. Because when he hears his people begin to shout praises unto him, he comes down and inhabits the praises of Israel. And when he does that, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, what fellowship had light with darkness? I'm telling you, honey, if you're in a dark place and you need God to come down and you need some far off things to be made now, the only thing stopping you is your shout. You want Jesus in your situation? Start shouting. You want Jesus in your family? Start shouting. You want Jesus in your finance? Start shouting. You want Jesus in your home? Start shouting. And while you shout, the far things are being made nigh. While you shout, that family member's being drawn. While you shout, that revival that seems so far off is made nigh. While you shout, your finances start turning around. While you shout, your depression begins to leave. While you shout, peace begins to come. While you shout. Don't let my brother run by himself. I wish somebody would help him run. Because while you're running towards your victory. While you're dancing towards your deliverance. While you lift up your voice, you're bringing it closer and closer to the breakthrough. Musicians, get y'all come up here and help me. I'm closing. A preacher, you don't get it. It's too far. Oh, so you're saying it's impossible. Well, let me tell you something. These things, which are impossible with man, these things which are impossible is too far. These things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Let me just tell you, you're going to hear this a lot by the time Brother Phillips leaves, but the devil's still a liar. And it's not too far, and it's not too impossible. Honey, if you'll just open up your mouth and begin to shout about it, it'll start tearing down the wall. It'll start breaking apart what's keeping you from your victory. How many need a miracle? You need a miracle? Come on, lift your hand high like you mean it. You didn't even know it, but that was a trick question. Because if you really needed a miracle, you wouldn't wait on me, you'd shout now. If you really needed a miracle, you'd lift up your voice and you'd lift your hands. And they ain't built the whole building yet, but I see the foundation. I don't see any walls, but I see the foundation. There's no doors or windows, but I see the foundation of my miracle. So I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna dance, I'm gonna give God praise. Do you see it? Nope. But I see it starting. Can you feel it? Nope. But I can feel it starting. I can feel the beginnings of what God is wanting to do. They saw. They saw. Just bricks and mortar on the ground. They didn't see the church double yet, Bishop, but they seen one or two get baptized. They didn't see another new building yet, but they seen a coffee shop. What are you telling me? They didn't wait until they were running 1,000, but when they saw the foundation, they said, that's enough for me to shout about. They didn't see it all happening, but they seen the beginning. I'm telling you, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is just getting started. God is gonna work bigger miracles. God has got a greater breakthrough. And it all starts with your shout. It all starts with your praise. Because they outgrow that room down there.
and you beat them in the gym and they outgrown that, but now they're in the sanctuary because it started little, but they shouted about it. And I tell you, little is much when God is in it. It don't take a whole lot, it just takes the beginning and somebody to shout about it. You ought to shout about your family being saved. You ought to shout about your, you ain't a millionaire yet, honey, but that little bit you got, when you shout, when you dance, when you give God praise, it starts growing.
Here, and I felt this in the Holy Ghost. If you're a business owner in this church right now, I want you to get down here to the front. But if you own a business or you want to start your own business and want the help of God, I want you to get down here as quickly as possible. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. If all you have is the vision, that there's blessings coming to this group of people. It's already began. It's already started. But I want you right now to start. What you're praising for is not what God's going to do. What you're praising for is the foundation that's already. It might not be a whole business yet. It might only be $100 extra a month. But when you see the foundation and you shout about it, when you see the foundation and you dance about it, God starts opening up the windows.